Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, here to talk you through another midweek round of J2 games. Match day 14 took place on Wednesday the 4th of May, which is a national holiday in Japan. Tokyo Verdy won for the first time in a month, as they saw off Vegalta Sendai in front of a large crowd, over 12,000 at Ajinomoto Stadium. Kōki Morita gave Verdy an early lead, getting ahead of his marker to head in across from the left after just 3 minutes. Sendai equalised 20 minutes later. Strong work down the right by Felipe Cardozo saw him lay the ball off for Yusuke Minagawa, but his shot hit the bar and landed kindly for Takumi Nagura to score. Sendai looked more likely to get a second goal as they hit the bar in the first half and had a header cleared off the line in the second, but it was Verdy who retook the lead in the 62nd minute when Ryoga Sato knocked in Mizuki Arai's hard low cross. Arai was the provider for Verdy's third in the 85th minute, this time with a cross to Byron Vasquez at the back post. An encouraging defensive effort for Verdy, who are now sixth. Sendai slipped one place to third as they were overtaken by Albirex Niigata, who handed Zeugen Kanazawa their first away defeat of the season in front of 17,000 spectators at the Denka Big Swan Stadium. Niigata controlled the game almost from start to finish, but strangely didn't create much in the way of clear-cut chances. Not that they needed to. Kyohei Sugiura's long-range shot midway through the first half was Kanazawa's only attacking moment of note. Ryotaro Ito got the only goal of the game, as he played a series of 1-2s with teammates and opponents, got into the area and beat Yuto Shirai in the Kanazawa goal. A tough day for the visitors, who also saw midfielders Hayato Otani and Hiroya Matsumoto stretch it off. Vivar and Nagasaki played a Tohoku opponent for the second consecutive game and surely had the poor officiating at the weekend in mind as they put Iwate Gruja Morioka to the sword. They were helped by a goalkeeping mistake in just the second minute. Taishi Brandon Nozawa dropped a high ball at the feet of Ryohei Yamazaki, who shot through a crowd to make it 1-0. A few minutes later, it was 2-0. Nagasaki midfielder Yuya Kuwasaki intercepted a pass on the edge of his own area. Ken Tokura dribbled down the right and into the box and fired a low cross for Yamazaki to slide in and score. The third goal, which came just before half-time, looked similar. A mistake in midfield, a low cross from Takashi Sawada, and a goal for Koya Okuda. Early in the second half, Yamazaki got his hat-trick in style. He won the ball on the right wing, dribbled into the penalty area, turned his defender around and fired the ball into the roof of the net. A comfortable win for Nagasaki and a seventh successive loss for Iwate. Keeping Iwate off the bottom of the table is FC Ryukyu, who lost 2-1 at Blaublitz Akita despite going ahead thanks to a Yuki Kusano goal in the 11th minute. It was a good goal. Having brought the ball down on his chest and been brought down himself, Kusano got up and whacked the ball into the top left corner from 12 yards. Unfortunately for Ryukyu, two goals in quick succession just before half-time were enough for Akita to take all 3 points. In the 40th minute, Ryukyu keeper Junto Taguchi came for a Ryoto Iyo cross, but missed, and Keita Saito headed it in. Then in first-half stoppage time, a long free-kick by Akita goalie Yudai Tanaka caused havoc in the Ryukyu area. Eventually, the ball came to Jurato Ikeda, unmarked at the back post, to score a header. Another good cross from Iyo there. Taguchi made good saves from Hayate Take and Yuji Wakasa in the second half, but his opposite number Tanaka was not tested by the Ryukyu attack. Akita are 16th, Ryukyu are 4 points behind Iwate. Machida Zelvia's winless run now stands at 7. They travelled to Reno for Yamaguchi and got off to the perfect start when Shusuke Ota received a high pass 25 yards out, cut inside and scored in the second minute. It should have been 2 for Machida a few minutes later, but Ota couldn't get his foot on a low cross. Yamaguchi drew level in first half stoppage time. A long through pass was held up on the edge of the Machida area, and veteran Koji Yamase drilled a low shot past Koki Fukui. 2 minutes later, that is still in first half stoppage time, Wataru Tanaka won the ball in midfield, dribbled up to the edge of the Machida area, and shot into the top corner to make it 2-1 to Yamaguchi all of a sudden. Yamaguchi sealed the win 5 minutes from time when Daisuke Takagi pounced on a fluffed back pass attempt and finished coolly. 3-1 it ended, and Yamaguchi are looking quite confident in 10th. Machida, meanwhile, have slipped to 13th. Another team that slipped down the table a fair bit in recent weeks is Sespa Kasatsu Gunma. They lost 1-0 away to Vanfore Kofu thanks to a late goal by Kazushi Mitsuhira. It looked like a fairly even first half, with both teams forcing saves and putting headers wide. Gunma keeper Masatoshi Kushibiki was busier in the second half, though, and Kofu had appeals for a penalty waved away after a Motoki Hasegawa shot-slash-cross hit a defender's arm. Kofu thought they'd taken the lead with a header from a corner in the 79th minute, but it was disallowed for offside, as the ball passed close to a Kofu player as Kushibiki dived for it. A close call, but 5 minutes later, Kofu really did have the lead. Mitsuhira with a towering header from Iwana Kobayashi's cross. Kofu are still 7th with 5 wins from their last 6 games. Gunma sit in 14th without a win in 3. Tokushima Vortis are steadily climbing the table now they've stopped drawing so many games. A 66th minute Eiji Shirai goal gave them a 1-0 win over Jeff United. There was not much action in this one, judging by the DAZN highlights, 4.5 minutes long, of which the opening minute and a half was the lineups and ceremony for the recently deceased former Jeff manager Ivicha Oshim. Shirai's goal came after a probing run by Kazuki Nishiya and a pass across the area by Shunto Kodama under pressure from 2 defenders. Jeff have won just once in 7 games and are languishing in 17th, while Tokushima have only lost twice all season and are 8th. Just below Tokushima in 9th are Oita Trinita, who played a buoyant Omiya Adija. Omiya went ahead after a quarter of an hour when Uado Neto headed a corner back across and into the far side of the goal. Omiya equalised in the 33rd minute after persistent work from Masato Kojima inside Oita's penalty area allowed him to set up Takamitsu Tomiyama, who was alone in front of goal. Omiya were perhaps fortunate not to concede a penalty in the 55th minute when a shot was deflected wide by a defender's arm, but there were surprisingly few appeals. Yuta Minami produced a fine reaction save to a close-range header by Hiroto Goya midway through the second half, and then a good save with an outstretched leg, again from a Goya shot, a few minutes later. Oita defender Yuto Misao had a chance to win it in stoppage time, but when the ball came to him alone in front of goal, he could only toe-poke it over. It finished 1-1. Both teams unbeaten in 3 games, and Omiya beginning to put a bit of distance between themselves and the bottom two. Yuta Minami made his 661st J-League appearance in this game, thereby setting a new record for goalkeepers in the J-League. Tochigi SC will be looking nervously over their shoulders at Omiya's run of decent results. For the second game in a row, Tochigi lost 2-1, courtesy of a 96th-minute goal, this time to Monterio Yamagata, who are up in 5th thanks to a run of 5 wins and a draw from their last 6 games. In-form attacker De La Torre opened the scoring for Yamagata. He dropped off his marker to head in a free kick from the left wing in the 13th minute. He was close to a second 10 minutes later, but his shot, after a neat passing move, was just wide. Kisho Yano equalised for Tochigi on 63 minutes. Yamagata keeper Masaki Goto took a heavy touch when controlling a back pass and came out of position when trying to salvage the situation. He almost managed to, but his save of Tepe Yachida's shot went directly onto the onrushing Yano's head and into the goal. Now we come to stoppage time. Originally 4 minutes were added, but in the third, Tochigi keeper Kazuki Fujita, 35 yards out of goal, lost control of the ball and slid in somewhat dangerously on an opponent and received a red card. He caught the player's ankle, although the player seemed to carry on running and then go down when bumped into by another Tochigi player. Anyway, Tochigi had already made 5 substitutions, so forward Ko Miyazaki had to go in goal. Then, in the 6th minute of stoppage time, a long ball forward bounced over the Tochigi defence, was headed back towards goal by one defender, and Thiago Alves lobbed over Miyazaki to take the 3 points for Yamagata. It seems controversy is following them closely this year. Fagiano Okayama maintained their unbeaten run, 7 games now, with a 2-1 win against Mito Hollyhock. Thiago Alves, not the other Thiago Alves, scored first for Okayama in the 43rd minute from a well-worked set piece. A free kick over by the corner flag was hit low and behind everyone, and Thiago Alves met it on the penalty spot, having snuck away from his marker. It was helped on its way by a deflection. Han Aiguan doubled the lead 10 minutes into the second half when a Mito defender got the ball caught in his feet in midfield and lost possession. The ball went to Han, who shot powerfully from 18 yards. Naoki Tsubaki got Mito on the score sheet in the 89th minute, sliding in to meet a low cross, but Mito's inconsistent form continues. Win-loss, win-loss, and down in 18th. The last game had the shock result of the match day. Roasso Kumamoto went to Mitsuzawa and ended Yokohama FC's unbeaten run at 13 games. You might look at the result, 1-0 to Kumamoto with a 94th minute winner and think this was a simple smash and grab, but that was not the case. Look at the stats, shows that although the league leaders had more possession, Kumamoto outshot them 22-10, of which 11 of Kumamoto's were on target to Yokohama's 5. Kumamoto had 7 corners to Yokohama's 1 and an expected goals rating of 2.02 compared to Yokohama's 0.67. Kumamoto were not afraid to let the hosts have the ball, but they were also not afraid to pressure their opponents aggressively, something Yokohama struggled to deal with. This was an accomplished and confident performance by Kumamoto, and the goal was the icing on the cake. In the 4th minute of second half stoppage time, Kumamoto gained possession in the centre circle, and a smart passing move between 4 players ended with Shun Ito scoring. Yokohama FC are now winless in 4, and their lead at the top is still just 3 points. So that's match day 14 rounded up. I'm going to take a quick break, and then let's have a look at the weekend's fixtures. Welcome back, everyone. Match day 15 takes place on Sunday the 8th of May with a full round of fixtures. There are 3 games at 1 o'clock. Akita play Yokohama FC. Omiya will be looking to put Iwate in even deeper trouble. And Kumamoto take on Ryukyu. Then there are 6 games at 2 o'clock. Yamagata play Oita. Mito take on Machida. There's Gunma against Tokushima. Niigata against Tokyo Verde, which looks tasty. Kanazawa still looking for their first home win. Welcome Yamaguchi. Nagasaki take on Sendai. That'll be good as well. Then at 3 o'clock, Jeff United play Okayama. And at 4 o'clock, Tochigi play Kofu. Well, that's all from me. Thanks to everyone who listens, downloads, retweets, likes, and so on. Thank you also to the Patreons who support us. You could go to patreon.com/jtalkpod for more information. Enjoy your football and stay tuned, because here comes Magic Mike Innes with J-Talk Short Corner. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes. Thanks, of course, to Super Stuart Smith for taking care of business last pod. And in this episode, I'll be looking back on fixtures in round 8 of the J3 season and previewing the attempts of J3 clubs to qualify for the Emperor's Cup. Straight into the action this week, and on Wednesday the 4th of May, there were 5 games played in Round 8. The scheduled fixture between Vanrade Hachinohe and SC Sagamihara having been postponed due to the continued COVID outbreak in the squad at Sagamihara. For leaders Matsumoto Yamaga, Hiroshi Nanami indulged in some squad rotation, making 4 changes to the starting lineup for the home match with Giravance Kitakyushu. Captain Takayuki Mae absent for the first time this season, while for Kitakyushu, top scorer Yuya Takazawa was dropped to the bench. The star of J3 2022 so far, Yamaga striker Ayumu Yokoyama, misfired throughout the match, Shaw Sumida coming closest to a goal early in the second half when his 20-yard shot brought a good save out of Giravance keeper Kenshin Yoshimaru. Rather a tired game all round though. Final score, Matsumoto 0, Kitakyushu 0. Things not clicking for Yamaga, although they were never in danger of conceding. A decent away point for Giravance, although they haven't scored for 4 games. There was a crowd of 4,501 for the first ever Fukushima Derby in the J-League, as Fukushima United hosted Iwaki FC. The COVID-hit home side were at least able to name more than the 4 substitutes they'd had last time out, although Toshihiro Hattori's squad were clearly approaching an important match in less than ideal circumstances. Iwaki, meanwhile, awarded a full debut to forward Kaina Tanimura, keeping rookie super sub Ryo Arita on the bench. Kotan Modi had a chance to open the scoring for Fukushima in first half injury time, racing down the left on a counter-attack before firing an angled shot just over from 12 yards. The same player opened up the Iwaki defence early in the second half, his cutback reaching the penalty spot, and Kosuke Tanaka, whose first shot was saved by Shuhei Shikano, the second blocked on the line by Iwaki skipper Yuto Yamashita. At the other end, after Ryoma Ito's powerful shot was tipped over the bar by Kaito Yamamoto, the resulting corner was curled in by Yamashita. Substitute Arita escaped the attentions of Fukushima captain Hiroto Moraoka and headed in his third of the season. Moraoka had a half chance to make amends in stoppage time, but was prevented from getting in a clean shot by a brilliant challenge from Eiji Miyamoto. Final score, Fukushima 0, Iwaki 1. A first loss of the season for Fukushima, who slip out of the promotion places. Iwaki kept their solidity and took the chance when it came. Following their impressive win over Kagoshima United in round 7, AC Nagano Parseiro went to Azul Claro Numazu, who this season have proved themselves unexpectedly slippery opponents, in particular at their Ashitaka Park Stadium. And on 19 minutes, the home side took the lead through Takuya Sugai's first of the season, a low 20-yard shot that deflected off Takuma Mizutani and beat Issei Oichi. With Nagano pressing for an equaliser, 5 minutes before half-time, Yuki Morikawa hit the post after good work from the lively Carlos Duke. In the second half, Morikawa sent over a cross for Takuya Miyamoto, whose first-time shot was tipped superbly round the post by the diving Hiromu Musha, playing only his second ever pro game. But the final score was Numazu 1, Nagano 0. A third straight home victory for Azul Claro, 7 goals scored, none conceded. For Paseiro, a setback after that defeat of Kagoshima. Moving quietly into contention are FC Imabari, who came away with 3 points from the first Shikoku derby of the season at Kamatamari Sanuki. Even so, Sanuki gave a good account of themselves and came within a whisker of scoring on 3 separate occasions. A point-blank header by Kakeru Aoto that was well saved by visiting keeper Tomohito Shugyo. A Kentaro Shigematsu shot that hit the outside of the post after a goal-mouth scramble. And then, in injury time, an acrobatic effort by Kohei Matsumoto that Shugyo just managed to get a hand to. The deciding moment, though, came 20 minutes into the second half when Imabari's Takatora Kondo crossed from the left, Wataru Noguchi headed back across the face of goal, and the unmarked Ralph Soyntjens was able to sweep the ball home, the Dutchman's first J-League goal. Final score, Sanuki 0, Imabari 1. A disappointing result for Kamatamari, but they're heading in the right direction, while Imabari are turning themselves into ones to watch. All that said, the game of the day turned out to be Fujieda My FC versus FC Gifu, which, after a goalless first half, burst into life in the 50th minute. That was when Gifu defender Takumi Fujitani conceded a soft penalty after being caught in possession by Akiyuki Yokoyama, who sent stand-in keeper Takuya Matsumoto the wrong way from the spot kick. Seconds later, it was 2-0. Yuki Oshitani latching onto a Yokoyama flick that cut open the Gifu defence and chipping confidently over Matsumoto. The visitors were given a lifeline in the 72nd minute when substitutes Toma Murata and Kosuke Fujioka exchanged passes for Fujioka to turn and fire into the top corner. On 74 minutes, the same two players combined again down the left, Murata setting up Fujioka to side foot home from 15 yards for 2-2. But Gifu fell behind again 6 minutes later as my FC's mercurial Jun Suzuki clipped the ball to the far post for Keisuke Ogasawara to knock it back for Tojiro Kubo to finish. 3-2 and game over? Not a bit of it, for within a further minute, Gifu were back level, and again it was Murata who crossed low from the left for Fujioka to deflect the ball past Kei Uchiyama at the near post for his hat-trick. Even then, injury time produced a final twist as Kubo flighted the ball into the away penalty area for the unmarked Tomoyuki Doi to volley first time past Matsumoto. Final score, Fujieda 4, Gifu 3, something of a taste of MyFC 2021, although with newer players like Yokoyama, Kubo and Doi grabbing the headlines now, while it's three straight losses for Gifu and little evidence Toshiya Miura knows how to make his star-studded squad into a team. The round concluded with two further matches on Thursday the 5th. The scheduled game between Gainare Tottori and Ehime FC postponed due to a COVID outbreak at Tottori. Kagoshima United bounced back from their loss at Nagano, brushing aside Katare Toyama with a performance that oozed confidence and style. Naoto Otake's team thought they'd gone in front in the 10th minute when Shuto Nakahara sneaked between Junya Imase and Naoto Ando to half-volley in Kazuya Tsunamori's through pass, only to be ruled offside, perhaps by a hair's breadth. For Nakahara, the afternoon was to improve from this point. His team took the lead 10 minutes before half-time, Junki Goryo playing a ball into the box for Koki Anita to set up Masayoshi Endo. The rookie's shot was blocked, but the ball bounced kindly for Anita, who slammed it past Yohei Nishibe from 12 yards. It was 2-0 by half-time, an exquisite 1-2 involving Goryo and rookie right-back Eisuke Watanabe, enabling Watanabe to race down the flank and sling over across to the far post. Rei Yonezawa's first attempt struck Takuma Shikayama, his second gave Nishibe no chance. 10 minutes after the restart, Goryo again fed Watanabe, whose near post cross was flicked on by Anita for the in-rushing Nakahana to beat Yuma Matsumoto to the ball and score from close range. This was a cut above regular J3 football, and Toyama, despite the substitute appearance of Arthur Silva, had little in the way of reply. And in the 87th minute, Kagoshima made it 4, the outstanding Nakahana slicing the defence with a pass to Shunsuke Yamamoto, who scored with a low shot from 15 yards. Katara got one back in the last minute when Shota Kawanishi took a long ball into the box and finished past Fuma Shirasaka, but more than a consolation, it was not. Final score, Kagoshima 4, Toyama 1. Perhaps the best team display of the J3 season so far by Kagoshima. Katare, a muddle and a mess with the leakiest defence in the division. The second leakiest belongs to YSCC Yokohama, who suffered a season's worst defeat at home to Tegevajaro Miyazaki. YSCC coach Kenji Nakada was absent from the bench for this game, his right-hand man Hirokazu Saegusa stepping in, but the fact is the home side barely got themselves a foothold in the match. Miyazaki went in front in the 11th minute, Yudai Tokunaga's clever cross finding Yuki Okada, who reacted quicker than YSCC's Kanta Wada to volley in. Incredibly, Miyazaki would, throughout the rest of the first half, hit the woodwork 4 times. First, when unmarked Megumu Nishida headed Ryoma Eguchi's cross against the post. Then, when Okada's shot hit the post after the YSCC backline had failed to deal with another Eguchi cross. Moments later, Nishida volleyed against the bar, and by the time homekeeper Ryo Ishii tipped onto the post, Tokunaga's 35th minute shot, and gratefully grabbed the rebound, it seemed why Assisi's goal was leading a charmed life. That sense dissipated 30 seconds into the second half when Tokunaga slipped the ball to Okada, who sent an angled shot past Ishii and inside the far post. The third goal and Okada's hat-trick came in the 55th minute when the former Machida striker converted Takuma Sonada's low cross following a counter-attack. Mention must be made of YSCC's abysmal attempts at defence throughout this passage of play. On 57 minutes, it was 4-0, Sonada tapping over the line, and Nishida backheel that was going in anyway. The nearest the match came to a further goal was 13 minutes from time when Miyazaki's young left-back Kaede Shinbo sent in a vicious curling shot from 15 yards that beat Ishii and, you've guessed it, cannoned off the bar and away. Final score, YSCC 0, Miyazaki 4. The home side struggling mightily to be competitive and looking a long way off the required standard. For Tege Vajano, there's not much to learn from a game against such poor opposition, but Yuki Okada now has 6 in 5 starts. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round 8, noting that the games in hand situation is becoming more complicated. Ehime, Gifu, Hachinohe and YSCC have 1 game in hand. Sagamihara and Tottori now have 2. The top 4 teams are Iwaki, Matsumoto and Kagoshima, all with 17 points, then Fukushima with 15. At the other end of the table, the bottom 4 are Sagamihara in 15th with 6 points, then it's Tottori with 4, Hachinohe 3, and rock bottom, still with 1, YSCC. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the forthcoming J3 related fixtures. Over the weekend of the 7th and the 8th, there's a break in the league schedule. While some J3 sides get time off from competitive football, 15 will be taking part in knockout tournaments, the winners of which represent their home prefectures in the Emperor's Cup first round proper. This weekend we're wrapping up the last of the prefectural finals. Playing on Saturday the 7th of May are FC Gifu against Gifu Kyoritsu University in Gifu Prefecture. Then on Sunday the 8th, there are 4 finals in which pairs of J3 clubs match up against each other. There's an immediate rerun of Fukushima United against Iwaki FC in Fukushima Prefecture. Matsumoto Yamaga meet AC Nagano Parseiro in Nagano Prefecture. It's Fujieda Mai FC against Azul Claro Numazu in Shizuoka Prefecture, and FC Imamari against Ehime FC in Ehime Prefecture. And also on Sunday are Vanrari Hachinohe against Reinmeier Aomori in Aomori Prefecture, SC Sagamihara against Toin University of Yokohama in Kanagawa Prefecture, Katare Toyama against Toyama Shinjo Club in Toyama Prefecture, Kamatamari Sanuki against Takamatsu University in Kagawa Prefecture, Tege Vajano Miyazaki against Honda Lock in Miyazaki Prefecture, and finally, Kagoshima United against the National Institute of Fitness and Sports in Kanoya in Kagoshima Prefecture. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.